Okay, so yeah, my plan is anyway to talk for a bit and show you some slides and tell you how this book came about to be and what are the key findings of the research that we were doing as part of this. But I won't talk for too long, maybe 20 minutes, and then we can either, you can ask questions, I can tell a bit more about specific aspects any of you are interested in. You're welcome to share any of your own experiences if some of you might have done similar work or work in organic farming. And we can from there also discuss about various issues to do with any of these things we're talking about. Since it's a small group, I think we can handle it quite flexibly. So, yeah. Next. So I'll tell you first a bit about how I got into this. So I first came to Hyderabad, which is the capital of AP in South India. I came there for a German university to do research about marketing of organic food. And it was part of this project, Sustainable Hyderabad, funded by the German government, the Ministry of Education and Research. And I was working for a German university, but based in India for this work and working with different NGOs and different people in the organic sector here as well. From my first research in Hyderabad in 2009, I progressed because when I first came there, my task was to find out about places that sell organic food and the people involved in that. And it was a very small job because at the time there was hardly anything. There was like one organic shop in Hyderabad and few NGOs, and one or two supermarkets had organic food, but that was about it. And while I was doing this work over the past 4 years or so, it all started that more organic food became available in organic stores, farmers markets, NGOs were getting into delivery, some people started online retail, all supermarkets now are starting to have organic food. So the topic actually became more and more interesting the longer I stayed. And then the idea for a bigger study came up, which is what we did in 2011-2012, and that's what resulted in this book. Which is published by an NGO in Bangalore called ICOA. But most of the research work was actually conducted as part of this project through my in my coordination. And what we try to do is get an idea of what's actually happening in the domestic market for organic food. Because until recently, most of the organic food in India got exported, at least the certified organic food. And the small farmers who did uncertified natural organic farming, their produce didn't even reach the markets as organic. So there was no proper domestic market for organic food. It was all very scattered and small scale. And so our idea
is primarily post-harvest, right?
Hmm?
Your study.
Yes, it is entirely focused on supply chains and marketing.
Right.
It's only insofar as we have to distinguish what kind of organic produce. I can talk about that a bit as well, maybe, because our study was, we try to be comprehensive, not just look at certified organic, because that's a small part only of organic produce in India. The majority of producers are actually not certified, either work with participatory guarantee systems, which is more of a group-based certification or assurance system, or they're not certified at all. Yeah. And we try to get all of them. Like organic companies means mostly bigger ones who are mostly certified, but then also a lot of NGOs, farmer marketing initiatives, and retailers who have very mixed products also.
Right.
And we try to get an idea exactly of that. How much, of which produce is around, who are the people involved in it, and how have they organized their supply chains. Next. Yeah, so that's what we were trying to do, to get an overview of what's happening, but then also to see what are the challenges that these people are facing. Because in my first, in my exploratory research, just going around in India and talking to different people in the organic sector, I've noticed that a lot of them actually have similar problems, but they don't exchange with each other enough and learn from the things that other people have done. So we wanted to find out about successful marketing stories and what people were doing right, what others might be able to learn from them and get them out in a published form so that others can, look it up and get in touch and learn from it. So that's one big part of the book is about challenges and case studies of successful initiatives. limited in geographical reach to Hyderabad, Bombay and Bangalore, just because we couldn't really, didn't have the capacity to cover the whole country. But it's also in a way representative because a lot of the issues will repeat themselves in every other city. Next. Yeah. So this is the, these are the regions. I think most of you know India well enough to know where Hyderabad, Bombay and Bangalore are, except the arrows have moved a bit. And one exercise was to try and count the whole thing, which is a little, was very difficult actually, and it's a little unreliable that way. The numbers are by now much higher anyway, because this is data from 2011. But even then, actually, if you go around for a few months, the number at the beginning will not be the same as at the end. And that's a great thing, because a lot of organic shops were opening all the time while we were doing the research.
Right.
And then with the figures, market size, it's also, these are minimum figures, because a lot of people didn't tell us their sales figures. Even those who told us, we can't be sure, is it true? So we had to extrapolate a little bit from the numbers of shops that we found and what people told us. Like a lot of the organic stores, what we call here organic specialty stores, these are shops that sell more than 50% of their products organic. So most shops here, I'll come to that later, but mostly they're not fully organic. But if they have a considerable range of organic products, then we consider them organic. Whereas a supermarket or a kirana store that has one organic shelf but is mostly conventional, then we don't consider it an organic shop. Yeah.
But that would fall into organic retail outlet, would it?
Yeah. No, see, organic retail outlets, by that we mean every shop that has organic products.
Exactly.
At all. Even the supermarkets and
exactly.
Everyone.
Anyone
whereas
who stops.
These organic specialty stores are the ones that have mostly organic.
Right.
Yeah.
Mostly or pure?
Pure is hardly there, actually. Because they all sell these natural products, which often they say they are from natural farming, but some also sell regular conventional products because they want to offer a full product range, and there are a lot of things you can't get in organic, especially processed food.
And seasonal.
So yeah.
So this studies purpose, all this we are talking about here.
Hmm?
Organic, when we're talking about here in this context.
Mm-hmm.
Is it talking about certified organic or talking about organic,
yeah. Which can mean PGS, but it can also mean trust-based. You know, if someone knows an organic farmer personally and they know this is reliably organic and we believe in that trust more than in certification. Because that's the other issue, that even certified is not 100% organic necessarily. Especially in a place like India where all the rules can be bent and, you know. You can start your own certification agency and your own organic farm and you're easily certified.
True.
That's exaggerated, but,
yeah, but
to an extent, yeah, it's true. So we can't say, there's no foolproof system actually, so we try to go with the best, you know, judgment of what's organic. Yeah. Some products are very clearly not organic. I mean, you'll find shops that have about 60% of their product range organic, but they also very clearly sell normal products, processed products especially. Tofu, for instance, you won't find organic, but a lot of organic shops sell tofu because it's something that customers want, so they sell a conventional brand. Next. This just briefly, basically what we found, what I mentioned already, that as we went along, more shops were opening all the time. And we couldn't count that very precisely. This is just an indication of, you know, how it's growing. And what it does show is that the most shops opened after 2009. Every city we had very few shops before 2005. Like in Hyderabad, the first organic store opened only in 2005. Then in Bangalore, there were at least four that opened before 2005. And in Mumbai, two. Could be more because we were never sure if we had really found them all, but those are the ones we could find. And like Hyderabad as an example, the number grew from 1 to 6 over 4 years. So 6 is still not an awful lot, but the percentage growth is quite impressive. Next. Yeah, so now I'll walk you through what I just already mentioned about the different types of retail. Like how we classified it into different kind of shops and supply chains. Next. first are these organic specialty formats of stores. One are 24 Mantra, maybe some of you have heard, it's a big company. By now they sell, they're selling all over South India, based in Hyderabad, and they have one store there also. And this is one of those examples. They're not fully organic, but more than 70% probably.
Yeah.
And we included Fab India and these kind of stores also, who are not organic stores, who are not even food stores. But whatever food they have is mostly organic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are some other textile stores actually that sell organic products. Next. Then direct marketing. Actually, probably I'll just mention these briefly. Can you go next? And one more, stop. Because I'll say more about each one on the next few slides. So these six categories we came up with, and I'll now tell you details about each of them. So next. Yeah, here I just mentioned some examples for each city in case any of you have been and have heard of those, to give you an idea what we're talking about. What we found are quite diverse, also in terms of their product range. Like, they sell everything from local producers, big organic companies, certified, non-certified, could be their neighbor's garden they're selling from, because they're very flexible. They're mostly standalone, proprietor-owned shops, so they can pretty much manage, and usually the manager and the owner is also just one person. Some of them are starting to grow into chains. Like in Mumbai, there's one, Naturally Yours. His target is to have 25 shops all over Bombay, but that's growing very slowly. They're usually not big India-wide chains. Except the Moralka, Down to Earth, you might have heard from Jaipur. These kind of, they're a big company, and they're planning to have franchise stores all over India, probably, eventually. And so these shops, we found that this is the most important category in terms of the sales. The most of the organic food sales in India happen to such stores. Then second would be the supermarkets only. And all the others that I'll talk you through now, they play a smaller role. What we included here as well are organic bazaars and melas, not to be confused with farmers markets. These melas are more like a lot of different kind of retailers put up stalls, like at the market you have on Saturdays, maybe in Oroville. But it's not necessarily farmers who come and sell directly. Could be the same retailers that have a shop somewhere. On a Sunday they go and set up their store. Next. What is directly farmers is what we call direct marketing. That includes farmers markets, where farmers come into the city and sell. Something we don't really have or haven't really found is farm shops, where a farmer sets up a proper full-fledged retail outlet on the farm. I think that doesn't exist much in India. Like in Europe, it's quite popular with organic farms, especially in smaller places. If you have a smaller town where you don't have to go that far to a farm. But the one challenge here is the size of the cities. Like, you can't really go from central Mumbai to a farm, because then your whole day would be finished in shopping. Yeah. And also increasingly people do home delivery because of the logistic constraints. People don't even want to go and buy organic food somewhere. So that's quite popular. And community-supported agriculture, which here in Oroville I think most people are familiar with, because you're doing that here as well. In other cities, that's quite a new thing, and most people are really just starting and experimenting with those kind of concepts and facing a lot of challenges also. One of them being that the farms are all over, usually in a radius of 100, 200 kilometers, and the consumers are all over cities, like Bombay being 60 kilometers long. So that's a whole lot of logistical issues. But nevertheless, we found a few, and these are also portrayed in detail in case studies here, because that's one of the very interesting initiatives I found. They're much more comprehensively or holistically organic than those big companies, I thought, because they're not just growing organically and then following a conventional supply chain model, but they're really trying to redefine the whole system, the whole relationship between consumers and producers, and also looking into issues like sustainable packaging and transporting with less emissions, which the big companies usually, it's not really a focus of the SSA. It's difficult enough to get organic produce. Everything else we'll do the normal way. Next. Then restaurants and catering. It's also just starting to pick up. At the time when I first started my work, 2009, there was not very much happening. Like some places, Hyderabad, for instance, didn't even have any organic restaurant by then. Bangalore by now has the biggest number, I think. There's a few more than the ones I've mentioned here, especially since we did this research, there are a few more. And also in every city has their own thing which works well, like in Bombay, delivery services are quite big. Some of them organic, some of them not, like soul food, for instance, is not fully organic, but usually what people try to do in restaurants, they try to be as organic as possible because they can't guarantee a year-round supply of all the things you need. Like in Bangalore, Lumiere, the owner, has his own organic farm. It's a non-veg restaurant. They even have their own chicken farm and eggs and everything and sell these in their shop as well. But he says, if I run out of organic tomatoes, I can't say, okay, for the rest of the day, there'll be no food with tomatoes because it's such a basic ingredient. Then he goes to the market and buys conventional. But what I like was that everyone is very open about that. If someone was trying to tell you, my restaurant is 100% organic, in a city where you have a lot of, you know, where you have a large menu and you try to do it really professionally, that won't be possible at this stage, actually. So it's quite transparent that they say we do whatever we can. And yeah, price constraints also, because a lot of them told me that they made the experience that consumers are not willing to pay a lot more. Not more than 20, maximum 25% over the regular prices. And whereas the organic ingredients are often much more expensive.
My experience was when I went to the farmers market in Mumbai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I had a similar, they had like food joints also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for us, it was like two puri and one gravy. So they were charging like 100 rupees for one small meal. And like people were like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is actually, I think, difficult people.
Yeah.
It becomes tricky to manage the expenses for organic and normal food.
Yeah.
Because normal food, if they take it, it will cost them like 10 rupees or something, and then 10 to 100 becomes too much.
That's also a matter of the target group, I think, that it's a very, the whole concept and the location, everything is geared towards people who can pay that money. Some others, they explicitly try to do it at a lower price. Like in Hyderabad, there's one now, Ahar Kutir. It's a millet restaurant. And when we went there once, we actually thought they're selling it for too cheap. They won't be able to survive on this. Because their concept is explicitly to make good organic and healthy food available to everyone. And to an extent, it works also. The regular neighborhood people go and eat there as well. Next. Then online retail and home delivery, like everything is being sold online now, from books to even organic food. It's not that successful with fresh produce, actually, people have told me, because the customers want to see and feel and know what they're getting. Especially with organic produce, because a lot of the organic producers are not trained that well in quality control. So the produce has all kinds of, you know, what people see as defects. The sizes are different, they might be a little too old, the greens might be wilted, and then if you see it in a store, you can decide, I won't pick this up. But if it comes to your doorstep, then it's a little difficult. It works better with the regular dry produce, where people may have already bought it in a shop and then they get it delivered. So we have a few of these in each city who are doing that. Most of them haven't done it for very long, so it's hard to tell how successful they're going to be. And like the one friend of ours in Hyderabad, Jiva Organics, one of the biggest challenges he has is the supply. And people also say they can't really advertise their organic shops, because if more people come, they'll be in trouble, because there are just not enough organic farmers, or the ones that are there are not producing things regularly. So it becomes difficult to ensure for you. Next. Yeah. And then this is a rather quick point because there's not very much at all in traditional retail and Kirana stores. Except in Bombay, there are a few Kiranas who are keeping like two bags of jaggery and one bag of rice, organic, kind of like that. And in Bombay, it's mostly because of the Morarka company, because they have gone into all the Kiranas and tried to market organic food to them. But it's not working that well, simply because the people who want organic wouldn't even think of asking their Kirana guy, and the people who regularly go there don't know about organic. So unless there's a bigger awareness, yeah, and promotion of it, it's difficult. Like a lot of the ones in Bombay that were on that retailer list for Morarka, after a few months they had already dropped out again because they just did it as an experiment. Yeah. But it would be, in the future, I think it would be a very important avenue because it reaches much more people than the organic speciality store or the fancy farmers market. Yeah. Mm.
And stores tend to have very strong follower base.
Yeah.
You know, if I live in a locality, I tend to go to one grocery store for years. I don't want to change loyalty just because he doesn't have, you know,
right
stuff.
Yeah.
So I'll be very happy if he only stocks organic stuff and I'm able to buy it there. Instead of having to change my route, go to some far off store to pick up the groceries which are organic.
So but that's what they were trying to do, that they were going to every Kirana stores and trying to promote that so that you know, local people who are visiting that, who are like,
in future, that is what will help. As of now, they are dropping out.
I think it's best if it comes from the customers, actually.
Yeah.
If there is a real request, can you stock this? Then, because then the Kirana store knows that we are going to sell it.
To stock it.
And they themselves need to learn about it also. I mean, ask your regular Kirana and the chances are they won't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. And at the same time, we found a few small shops, very miscellaneous kind of shops, which for some reason or other, the owners are aware of organic food or natural farming. There's one sweet shop in Hyderabad, which is owned by a natural farmer, and he actually sells cow dung in his sweet shop. I mean, outside, but yeah. And also all kinds of things, you know, and uses organic ingredients, but doesn't even promote it much. So that's also there. And these are the ones, I think, where our data is also has gaps because you'll never be able to find all of them. There might be some natural farmers somewhere in North Bombay, you will never know. Yeah. But yeah, that's a great, great potential also. Next. And then the last one, which actually is together with organic specialty stores, the biggest one in terms of sales, are the supermarkets. Because they reach a lot of people, a growing number of people by now. And usually they have only a small shelf of dry produce, like you can see here. That's in a food bazaar. But a few have also gotten into fresh produce, like Spar, which has pulled out of India by now, actually. But they had these cold shelves also with organic produce. And this is in the Spencer's in Bangalore, who are working with an NGO to bring these non-certified, I mean this is in conversion actually, and they've developed their own label here, which is for regional produce grown by farmers of Karnataka, and they say grown organically, because it's not certified organic, they use that wording. And it's not working that well yet with the fresh produce, because the reliability is not there, and if they don't sell it quickly enough, it looks wilted, then no one will buy it. And that's also why a lot of them, and even organic retails, like specialty stores, a lot of them don't have fresh produce yet because the risk is too high. They can't rely on the supply and they also can't rely on the customers. And then stocking especially green leafy vegetables and things that would rot within a day, they can't really do at this stage at least, yeah. But those who are getting into it because they have a strong supply base or their own farm maybe are quite happy, because that's the one thing that attracts customers actually. And other research has found that as well, when they ask consumers in India which products they are most keen to get in organic quality, fresh produce, vegetables and fruits is the highest priority actually. Yeah, it makes sense. It's also where you hear the most scary things about pesticide residues and Yeah, and it's something I nearly eat every day. Yeah. Next. Yeah. So just to summarize a lot of things that I've already said, these are the main points we found that organic people in organic supply chains, whether it's processors, distributors or retailers, what their problems are currently. So supply, ideally it's if they work closely with suppliers and build up a strong base of farmers that are their personal network, or they even have their own farm that works well. Transport and storage is lacking, and there are no separate supply chains also for organic produce. All the distributors who have their setup centers and trucks and everything, that's all for conventional food, but there are no separate systems yet for organic. And mostly those with fresh produce, those work well that have short supply chains that bring it ideally directly from the consumers, from the producers to the consumer's home, so that there's no storage required in between. Lack of trust and awareness can only be built over time through more campaigns, where also I think the government is required a bit, like they invented an organic label more than 10 years ago, but there was never any publicity campaign, so no consumer in India actually knows the Indian organic label. Yeah, because it's only used by the bigger companies and for
export. Not only that, you know, the law enforcement is so poor that even if I see a government sticker, I'm as skeptical about it as I would be otherwise. You know? I mean, India is supposed to have the Bureau of Standards.
Right.
I don't care a damn about the Bureau of Standards. You know? I mean,
yeah, that's true.
It can be purchased off the counter and you can just put a seal. So that, I think.
That's the same reason why some organic farmers say we don't even want it. Certification, because what does it tell people, right? We'd much rather work with trust
most of the
and integrity.
The difficulty they are facing is the high cost.
That too, yeah. But also some are not keen
reasons.
At all. Yeah. I mean, for if you want to export, there's no choice. It needs to be certified, yeah. Which is why a lot of small farmers can't access exports, even if they wanted
and
to,
because
of the
when
cost.
When they export, they are getting much higher revenue realization, so they are ready to invest in the certification. When it is sold locally, see, this is what you are telling is the post-harvest part of the story.
Yeah.
When you hear the story from the farmer's part of the thing, they will have a different story. They say, you know, we have no reliable demand. People will say, oh, you produce and we'll buy everything. And suddenly one day I'm sitting with 500 kgs of tomato and nobody comes to buy. And I don't want to go to the regular market to sell, because regular market I'm selling it for 2 rupees a kg. And these are organic tomatoes which I must sell for at least 20 rupees a kg or 10 rupees or whatever. So neither that shopkeeper comes to buy and nor I can go and sell it in the regular, you know, the vegetable market where the middleman purchases. So they also get stuck with these things. So, you know, it's a very sort of a difficult situation that is there for the growers as well. They also are not sure about what the market wants, how much they want and when will they buy, because there is no channel. Mostly these stores tend to have their own supply sources. So unlike the regular vegetable supply in India, the farmer produces, goes to the local APMC or someplace and it dumps his vegetables. He doesn't care whether eventually those tomatoes are going to Bihar or they're going to Jammu Kashmir or are going to be thrown away because they rot or something. He doesn't care, he takes his money and goes home. But when it comes to the organic, there is no such exclusive chain like you have also mentioned there. So each shopkeeper has to fend for himself. And he can't go to one farmer who ends up producing everything. So he has to go to 20 farmers to pick up things. Difficulty that's on the production end of it, right?
No, wait, I didn't. Just the last three points. What was my personal experience also in why a lot of people might not come back to their organic shop is because it's often a very tedious experience in terms of, one thing is you don't find the produce you're looking for, like especially vegetable shelves are empty half the time, but also various things like from random closing times you come to the shop and it's closed, or the shop attendant is an employee who doesn't know what organic is. If there's an unlabeled product and I ask, they can't tell me if it's where it came from. Or I get the impression they say, yes, it's organic for whatever I ask. Yeah. And if you make the test and you take a conventional product, then they also say yes. Or in Fab India, they tell you, if you ask, is the cotton organic? They say, yes, all natural. So, yeah, that kind of thing, that there needs to be awareness even among the people who work in the organic sector. And more, or partly on the production level also, is lack of access to capital and financial sustainability for investments, like we said, into storage certification, which needs to be, there needs to be a capital available before even selling the produce, right? Because selling the produce, that is needed for the day-to-day expenses, but there are investment costs even into converting to organic, and that's hardly available, especially for small farmers. Not just organic, but generally small farmers have very little access to credit and to formal banks or to government support. And finally, one thing that people have done in order to be able to sell in cities like Bombay, where the space is very expensive, that's why all these home delivery and online stores came up. Yeah, where they don't need to pay for that.
Sure.
Yeah. Next. And one more. Okay. Yes. So that much for my presentation of the key findings and some other issues we discussed in the book. Thanks for your attention, and I'd like you now, if you have more questions or comments, we can just talk.
So, Yusha, we've heard that Fab is successful, mainly your peer groups that are successful there. Mm-hmm. And the eventual cost of the produce is not drastically higher than the normal market thing. Like, we recently purchased rice and everything. Mm-hmm. The normal rice is, say, for example, 45 rupees, this is about 52 rupees a kg, you know? So that's not such a huge difference, and that encourages me to spend that extra money to buy. In fact, a lot of things. In fact, Gujarat now is quite big, and it's one of the largest producers of organic jaggery. There are a couple of brands which are doing quite well in Bombay and everywhere. Because jaggery, again, this was one of the things which was extremely chemical laden, and it's a cottage industry. Rural base, so the controls and sanitizations were hardly there. So people were using anything that came in their hand to make it whiter, sweeter, whatever, you know, longer shelf life, including putting washing powder in it, you know, to make it look whiter. Things like that. So certain pockets things are working in India, but certain pockets aren't.
I have a question there, also what you said earlier about the tomatoes that you would have to sell for 2 rupees. It's a question I ask everyone, actually, because I still haven't fully understood. If a farmer is forced to sell in the conventional market, in theory they should still be better off, because organic production for a small farm in India should actually be cheaper, right? Because they save the expense for pesticides, which is usually the biggest expense in the farmer's budget. So why is it still the net benefit from organic farming should still be better, even selling at the same price? What's your personal experience with that?
It's a tricky thing. It's basically a farmer is motivated to spend that extra money in the pesticides and fertilizer in the hope that from his small land holding he would end up producing more.
Because if you cannot
increase the land holding size, it's going to be small. And so by investing additional revenue, additional money in pesticide and fertilizers, he expects that he will get more produce.
Which is usually not true, right? The yields are declining in chemical farming.
It could be true, because sometimes the land he is tilling may not be very fertile land. And also the problem with small land holdings is that if my neighbors are not organic, and if they are using liberally pesticides, what is happening is that if there is a pest infestation happening in my neighbor's farm, I am so close there that there is hardly any way I can save my my crop from that infestation. And especially if I'm purely organic.
Yeah.
So So the motivation is very small to turn organic. Also, what happens is for most farmers who have turned non-organic, so to say, since many years, for them to turn organic, there is a very big disadvantage, because for the initial few years, the crop, the harvest actually drops. So, with very small, meager economy of theirs, that becomes a very, you know, disturbing factor for them.
And I mean, the other thing is, to be fair, one has to say that conventional food is too cheap, right? If you want to pay a fair price to any farmer, organic or not, it will be more expensive than what average Indian farmers
get.
Because
unfortunately, about 80% of the money goes to the middleman. So I don't know. I pay more. I'm not still sure whether that's reaching the farmer.
Sure. No, it's if you, provided you would buy directly from a farmer. Sure. I mean, if a conventional middleman gets 80% and the organic gets 160%, then nothing is
wrong. In India, that is what is happening. The farmer gets less than 20% of the money spent. The middleman, the retailer, and that is where the majority of the money goes.
But it's true that it's the same worldwide, because in France, I mean, we also have like low-cost organic, like in low-cost supermarkets. And I don't know if it's really organic or whatever. And you were talking about the awareness and educating people with organic food. And it's true that personally, when I shop, I don't really know if it's really organic food or just for business, or it's becoming a big business in the Western world.
And some people make some logos or some labels like green.
Yeah.
It looks like
bio is like.
Say it's bio, but they want to make it like looking bio, you know, green letters and things that they want to change. But it's funny because here we see the thing organic since only 2-3 years ago. You didn't see, now you see organic jaggery, you didn't see that 2-3 years ago. It wasn't, there was no organic something, so it started very recently.
But I believe before, everything was organic, before we created the bad food.
I mean, that's a long time ago, if you go long enough back, sure.
Yes, but like when I was little, I used to eat a tomato, and it was very tasty.
It was
organic. As today, salt and pepper, and still it's not tasty. You know, and it's funny, they had to create bad food to sell expensive good food, you know, and that... I mean, in France, I'm saying,
But
same everywhere. It's not because of the organic, it is because of hybridization.
Organic tomatoes here, but they are very bad. They can be organic because they are not real tomatoes.
There are different reasons. Hybrids.
So they hybrid, c'est pas des vraies tomates. C'est pas good.
It's organic. Organic.
Also, the fertilizer, I understand, came from the Second World War. They had excess gunpowder, and they threw it on the soil, and things grew quicker. And that's why terrorists get charged with having fertilizer, because it's an explosive...